Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, baby, make it hot. Ride the cop, cause you get the spot. Come on, baby, make it hot.
Doing it doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo.
Summer Radio.
Yes, I just had to switch phones. I couldn't hear a word.
Now, before we got in the air, what were you trying to tell me? What was I supposed to hear?
There was someone dialing on my phone. I could hear it ringing, ringing, ringing really loud. I don't know what the hell it was, but I just switched the phones and it's okay now.
It was Edgar Allan Woo.
It's always somebody.
No, yeah, that would you have to be correct on that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so here we are. High atop another EXO week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I do really prefer the EXO week after last week.
Well, I mean, until it's next week and it's Philo week and you wish it was you know, something else. If you don't know what the heck we're talking about, go to summerspace.org and figure it out. We're tired of explaining it to you, archiving lazy sapes.
Right.
Get on here live and we'll teach you. We'll talk you through it.
That's right.
Actually, you know what? Let's open up a little spot on the Somatic Companion. I'm tired of talking already.
Oh, all right. You want me
Unless
to find
have,
it?
Wait. We have to play this first. It just.
Oh, jeez.
It's too loud, though. Give them 200. Say.
At 11, pay more at the grocer, but getting less will tell you how to get the most. The fuck are you doing?
There you go.
You go,
funny.
Stu.
Stu Simmons, always funny. Thank you, Eco. Hit the Somatic Companion thing if you can find it.
Yeah, I do have it here. I'm just going to make it a little louder. It's usually really low. So let me
right,
zippity-doo-dah here. Okay.
Hey, Sapes, do me a favor and answer this question.
How will your life be different and better a month from now?
There's ways to guess at it.
You could call a psychic or consult the oracle.
Or you could
follow the moon.
That's right, Sapiens. Us radicals at Naked Soma have taken our act on the road with you.
Just go to the site somaspace.org and click on the link at the top of the homepage.
That'll take you to the page of our brand new 30-day emotional makeover audio program called
The Somatic Companion.
Listen, we know you're fed up with humanity, so we designed a program to help you rise above it all.
Tell them what they get to know.
Everyone craves the same basic things from life at 6 years old as you do at 66 years old. The unseen force that binds us to our behavior is our emotions.
We've assembled 15 years of cutting-edge research into a user-friendly series of 7 to 10-minute daily audios that help you develop something called positive physiology.
Mm-hmm. And by riding the waves of positive physiology, you'll naturally reconnect with your self-extreme, the appetite for change.
It's moon over matter.
Blast off is a click away.
That's right.
Very
blast
dulcet
off.
Tones. Yeah, mm-hmm. No blasting off. Well, as we take a little trip around the culture, we're hitting the home stretch here with the old Democratic primaries, and I'm completely worn out on the entire concept that we have to elect anyone ever.
Food fight!
There you go. I can't listen to any more of this garbage. I don't believe a word anyone's saying, and now this Scott McCollum book comes out, this What Happened book. I remember when this guy was the press secretary. You've never seen a more deer-in-the-headlights Philo in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It was as if Cheney had a gun in his kidney the entire time he was talking. And now he goes, they lied to me. They made me lie to them.
Oh,
and buy my book. And I'm like, you know, between that and Barbara Walters, who basically banged everything that walked in the 70s, I mean, do we really want to know the backstory on everything?
We're
obsessed
not.
With the backstory. I think we're obsessed with the backstory.
Yeah.
I go to Yahoo before we come on. George Clooney broke up with his girlfriend. Who
cares?
Who gives
a shit?
Come on. You know what he said to her?
What?
I got it right here.
I bet you do.
Good riddance, fuckface. So long, you fetus-faced windbag. Good luck managing a Denny's douchebag.
Oh,
lost you tonight.
That actually hurt. I wasn't expecting that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, what feel? What was the top rope with the Costas quote?
Oh, my God.
I think we'll have to play that next week for Hillary when she finally loses something.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on the show, by the way, Hillary, you bitch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Responding to our invitation.
Yeah.
I'm hearing an echo of my damn voice now.
Hmm.
Do you hear that, or am I just, you know,
no,
talking
that's you.
To myself?
Yeah, that's
God,
you.
These phones.
Yeah, it's not mine this time. Oh, I remedied that.
I'm going to open up a window. Oh, brother. Okay, so, you know, I look around the media scope, and I keep seeing the same thing over and over again. It's secrets, lies, innuendos, and rumors. It's like a big windstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are the finals just having like a big frolicky party we're not invited to? Don't they know egos don't care?
Yeah. Well, you know, every day in my email, somebody sends me something on Obama saying, you know, he's a terrorist and he's this and he's that. And then the latest thing was that he will never say the Pledge of Allegiance. So I go on Snopes, and it has this whole thing where there's a something on the news where he was standing and he had his hands down and other people had their hands over their hearts.
Yeah,
did you see
please?
That? Okay.
Yeah,
so it was not a big deal. I think it was before something was going on. And then underneath it, they had like five clips of him saying the Pledge of Allegiance so that people would get off his back. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he started wearing the pin because he knows he's dealing with basically these simple Simons that absolutely have nothing else on their mind but these little minutiae things. That if that's going to make up your mind over the leader of the free world, don't vote. Don't come near a voting booth. Run away.
Go get ice cream.
Exactly. Now, I watched that on a loop. I watched that recap movie on HBO over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Ugh.
An Education.
Wow.
Kevin Spacey's my hero.
Oh, that was
and in case you didn't see it, it's on about 1,000 times this week on HBO. It's all about the 2000 election and before all this S-storm started. And the one thing I took away from it was Bush 41, who was ominously pictured in the back of in one scene, you know, with these buddies with Jim Baker, is portrayed to be somewhat of a saint, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I know about Bush 41... I understand why 43 is so screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
That XO has more skeletons in his closet than a boneyard.
Indeed.
And anyone that worked, you know, he's CIA and all that, it just seems like, you know, if I combine the recap movie with the Indiana Jones movie, and they're not showing in Russia, by the way. Oh, no,
oh.
No.
Mm.
Can't see it in Russia. So if you're listening to us tonight in Siberia, you can't check out the... almost the Indiana Jones movie.
No, but you could listen to us, which is much, much better.
Yes, we're better propaganda for you, Ruskis. So anyway, you know, we're traveling the globe tonight. I don't know why. I think a lot of this stuff comes down to the fact that once we got on the web, and how long have we really been on the web? 95, 96 was when the web bubble started to get up there. We had Napster and... You know, other things came in, and I remember I first got on Netscape, and there was Navigator, and then Yahoo, and then Yahoo, and then the Googles, and all these things kept building and building this infrastructure, and now we're sort of saturated with it. I think if you get up in the morning, are you more inclined to go to the television, the radio, or the web?
Right to the computer.
Hmm. Yeah, it's like an obsession. I think it was 63% of the people check their email on vacation or something like that. There's some stat about email that the people are constantly checking. Because it's almost like it used to be you waited all day and you got your snail mail and that was it. You know, it was the whole big thing. And then it became overnight delivery and then it became faxes and everything got faster and faster. So now it's instant messaging. Pretty soon it's telepathic.
We already have that.
Yes. Well, that was the old school. Just put your head against the tree and send in your grocery order.
That's right.
You know, so let's see. I'm getting a message. I'm getting a message. Oh, okay. So before. Oh, it's a PowerPoint. Oh, good. Anyway, so I'm getting another message. This environment that we live in is so sensory dominant, there's almost no way to function in it without splitting your attention in 27 different directions because there's so many things competing for your your awareness. And I just wonder if we've, you know, kind of gotten to the point now where the human brain is going, that's it, pop. I want to know what George Clooney and his girlfriend are doing. I want to dial it down to the gossip level that I can handle in sixth grade.
Uh-huh.
I think that's where we're at.
I think so.
That's my opinion. All right, so it's time to introduce our guest from a undisclosed location in the harbors of San Diego. Let's get the horn going here.
Are you getting it? You want me to get it?
No, you got to get it. I'm opening this file
okay.
That's dominating my screen at the moment.
Hold on a second.
Oh,
what?
You know what?
Okay.
What? We're supposed to do your Soma Sutra before we introduce them, but we'll do it at the end.
Well, we'll do it after.
All right. How long is it? Mine's about a minute and 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's like a minute something, I think. It was quick.
All right.
All right, hold on. Here we go.
All right, so the Soma submarine is leaving its port, and let's snap in here. Jeff is joining us from the West Coast. You guys there?
There we are.
There we are. Wow.
Right.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. There was like a storm.
There was like all kinds of people talking and...
It was like a crowd of Teamsters came through there or something. I don't know.
Whoa.
It sounded like they had the gypsies there. So let's see. Let's get some full disclosure here. In another life, there was a thing called online distance learning that Richard created, and that's when I first crossed his path. I think that was in the summer of 2000, which seems like the Stone Age. And it soon became Life Skills U, which is still operating, and it has morphed and mutated, and now has become something new. And why don't you give us kind of a, you know, what you've been up to the last couple of years as you've been cracking the code of internet communication?
Yeah, good question. Well, if we dial back the clock, we remember that 20 years ago, I became fascinated with the learning process when I found myself in a position where I wanted to make changes in my life and couldn't. I had discovered that I had developed an ego larger than the Pacific Ocean. I had a level of arrogance that could protect me from anything, and I was truly becoming one of those people that knew more and more about less and less. And finally I reached a point where a journey to the other side, a meeting at the light, discovering that in my current condition, heaven wouldn't have me and hell was afraid I'd take over, I got the ultimate rejection and returned to Earth. Disappointed, and a little bit frustrated. I went off on a mission to make profound changes and found that I could talk the talk, I could walk the walk, but I couldn't walk the talk. And around in circles I went. I began a journey of trying to figure out what the hell had happened to me and begin a process of real self-examination of what I was all about, drawing upon my many years ago, I had worked on a project when I got tired of automating factories and having computers drive jitneys and forklifts around. I became fascinated with the idea of artificial intelligence. The journey through artificial intelligence led me through a pathway of which I got down to one of the subroutines, which had to do with original thought. And I came to an absolute halt. How do you describe and how do you create and how do you write the math around original thought? And I had to come to my first horrible defeat. It couldn't be done. Certainly, I couldn't do it. and fascinated with the problem, and forced to examine that original thought comes not out of grueling cups of coffee, thousands of cigarettes, incredible conversations, and what other supplements we often add to our creative function. It really came down to one thing, that I had to get in touch with another part of me, where my intuition came from, which was what to do without any knowledge of how to do it, where my creativity came from, learning how to really go about it, how to do it without any knowledge, knowing when to do it, my timing, and having the courage to do it when I didn't know the outcome, when I wasn't guaranteed what was going to happen. And those were the elements that I was faced with. And I wrote a number of papers. With shaking hand, I submitted it to IBM on contract, and we wrote some important papers on how individuals could reestablish their creativity. Good papers on what to do, good goals to do, but the bottom line, it was more talk. It was more theory, it was more talk, and nothing happened. Nothing happened with me. And so I began to take myself apart and examine why I was so steadfast in my beliefs, why I couldn't really make real change, why I couldn't see the obvious when others could, why I could acknowledge what others saw but couldn't do anything about and stuck. I was one of those people that sat on the beach screaming and shouting about the war and getting everybody all excited and upset, When we got done being upset, nothing happened. We laid down exhausted, had another beer, and the war went on. We didn't change anything.
Richard, this
at that realistically. And I looked at the world around me, and they were having the same problem. So my journey took me on how to apply what I had learned about artificial intelligence, not to gain more control, but to learn how to truly surrender. To take responsibility for myself with the things that I could do and surrender the things that I couldn't do. I had to learn how to admit that I was no longer the center of the universe, and I had to learn how to step back and join with other people interdependently. And it was on the basis of that that I realized that I had to go beyond education. Education wasn't just learning something and getting another fact and putting another piece into the puzzle. Because the universe isn't putting one star in the sky, putting a galaxy in a sky, our solar system in the sky, or even a galaxy made up of so many things. I had to look at life differently. And so it was out of that that I evolved a learning system, a system that would allow me to become my own student, but not a student of my creation, but a student simply capable of learning to pay attention to reality of what was happening, learning to stop judging and coming to conclusions before I had all the information. I had to become a student that learned how to find value before I decided whether value was what I wanted.
Richard, do you have a question?
I changed my thoughts. You got an answer here.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep. Loud and clear.
Oh, wow, okay. Because I was talking, I couldn't get the, they didn't think you could hear me there. So I'm just, because I was echoing, everyone's telling me I'm fuzzy. So I guess, you know, from what I'm getting here, you went through a lot of what people went through in the 80s and 90s, that kind of corporate emptiness where you climbed the mountain, you achieved everything, you ran through all the obstacles, and you get to the top of the hill and you go, you know, was that all there is? And the self-help existentialist, all the other BS, basically was a lot of hooey, like you said, a lot of theory, a lot of gooey stuff. And so like a lot of people that tried to make personal change and tried to go through a lot of transformation, they get into that kind of support group carousel, and they learn a lot of stuff and they get a lot of maps, but they don't really change the terrain they're on. And like you're saying, that what's happened now in this decade is that people have got into alliances and carried that theme out online, and they've gotten into these things where they've formed a lot of social networks and created a lot of these little inner circles, and everyone, like you're saying, is kind of like charging toward the center. We're not really getting information to spread from circle to circle. So what have you done in the last maybe 4 or 5 years since technology has been available to you to get that limited amount of people that are able to transcend everything to distribute the knowledge? Because one of the statues you have that stood out to me, you said that almost everyone, 77% of the population, has difficulty learning in general. So just could you just kind of connect those dots here? How do you get the expert knowledge to a bunch of confused people?
Yeah. Well, what I found was that, first of all, we didn't look at we looked at communication words only as two-way, but in practice, communication was one-way. And what we've seen on the Internet is a manifestation of that. It's one-way communication. I'm going to put something on a web page. I'm going to put a video. I'm going to put something to tell you about something, but I'm going to get no feedback. It's not going to be bilateral. That's the first thing that I see happening even more than we've done today. All we've really done with the Internet is learn how to make the same mistake, only do it faster. And we have not changed how we learn. We have not changed the fundamentals. And so the last 8 years, what I've devoted my time to is perfect a bilateral communication system with myself and then a bilateral communication with others, and develop it as a systems approach rather than a random hit or miss. Then around that, I built an infrastructure.
Richard?
Uh-oh.
He's gone?
Uh-oh.
The boat capsized. What happened?
Yeah, he dumped out.
All right, well then, we'll have to find out later what happened to the infrastructure. He has to call back.
The infrastructure has fallen apart.
We have hit a snag.
I hope he noticed that he's disconnected.
No, I think he will. We'll just say I'm here in a second.
Let's see. I'm watching to see when he signs back on.
All right, then. Meanwhile, I will take advantage of that to play a little.
Uh-oh. Do you hear it again?
I heard something.
It sounded like somebody dialing.
Oh, brother.
What?
What the? Oh, man. Is it my phone, or is it? Do you hear it, too?
I heard something. We're having a little fun time here. You know, it is Mercury retrograde.
Mercury is retrograde.
Hey, hello!
And Neptune.
Up. You're going to end up eating a steady diet of government cheese and living in a van down by the river.
I love that.
I got all kinds of things going on. I got our friend George, his IM thing is just spazzed out and IM me again. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, jeez.
So, I don't know. Our guest is giving a story there, and we have, let's see if I can retrieve him. But, oops, I can't even write the word back. And I just want to give you an idea. A lot of the stuff that Richard's talking about is already on the bookshelves everywhere, but it's sort of like all separated. So he mentioned a lot of things about artificial intelligence and a lot of things he went through. But the parallel learning system he put together, which is so basic and so sort of like fundamental to the way your brain organizes information. I hope he gets into that if he calls back. But you know, right now we're just sitting here in cyberspace with our pants down. Hello.
I thought I felt a breeze.
Yes. You know, why don't you do this? I'll shoot you the number that he called me on, and you can just see if you can back channel and get a hold of them, because they're not even responding to IM now.
Oh, geez. Well, maybe their electricity went out or something.
No, they're still online.
Fuck.
It's interesting. What's happening here? And the funny part is he has an answer to all this these gaps in the communication system. We can't even get him on the damn Blog Talk long enough to tell us. Hold on a second. I'll get you the number. Why don't you put up a minute spot while I get you this number?
Let's see
just
what I got.
Put up a commercial about something good.
All right. Let me see if I
something
can.
Something functional. Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
I had the number there a minute ago.
Here we go.
That's not going to do it. We are at Naked Summer. Glad you tuned in today.
Here's some pointers to make the show more fun to listen to.
Before we get started.
That's a great indicator of what we call
the initial conditions. Kind of sets the tone for the rest of the show.
Yeah, see, we have a whole day to get through before we get here.
That's why we show up as we are, naked, open to whatever the day and the show brings us.
So don't expect us to be very formal. It just won't happen.
But we're wily sapes, so we're prepared to educate and entertain you.
The show has three basic segments.
First 20 minutes is where we take a whirlwind tour of the culture, news, and the issues.
The interviews we do in the second segment are our way of bringing you to a new world.
You're welcome to call the show, IM us, or join us in the chat room.
We'll make sure you have a voice in what we put on the air.
The last segment, we wind down by getting into our world again.
You'll get the somascopes from Dr. Mark, a lifestyle tip from Dr. Jeb, and a cool quote from me.
Okay, that's enough.
Yeah, we have a show to do already.
One more thing. Make sure you register as a Blog Talk Radio listener.
Just go to blogtalkradio.com homepage while you're sitting there lurking.
Now back to more nakedness.
Wow.
Richard, are you naked?
Yeah, we're dancing now. Welcome to raw, free internet yelling at the clouds.
I think what happened is we took a wave.
Yeah, exactly. We were at the infrastructure, and all of a sudden we fell off a cliff. So just like I said, we were talking about when you were kind of muted there for a second, is that the parallel learning system that I was exposed to that you introduced to me back in 2000 is sort of the background material for what you've been doing now to sort of bypass a lot of the things that people do to unlearn things and learn things poorly and distract themselves. So why don't we connect some dots here? Because a lot of the stuff you're talking about is a deliverable that people can actually get on the web and look at during or after the show. So why don't we speed up the pace here a little bit and get to this electronic 100th monkey you've created here, this E-mod, and talk about the parallel learning system underneath it a little bit.
Okay. Well, the parallel learning system is a technology that allows you to communicate to all four quadrants of the brain simultaneously. It is designed to be able to take anybody's content material and integrate into it the delivery to the left brain, the right brain, and back into the left brain again, just the way you would is if you could be a presenter on a stage doing a professional presentation, bringing people together with the emotional content and bringing people into an emotional state of being totally present, then moving them back into the past of why they want to hear the information, and then moving them into the future, what will they do with the information, and then move them back into the present, into that emotional state as we move left brain, right brain, left brain stuff, move back into the point where they're getting emotional, and then they will begin to make real decisions about what they're doing. And that's what the technology is designed to do.
Now, what we do with that is we have built the company, we have an infrastructure that allows others to take their information, their message, whether it's a community service type of situation, whether it's a trainer, whether it's an educator, an organization, and they can publish their information. And we build them what we call a control panel. And our control panel is a very small piece of software. It's smaller than it would be like an Adobe Reader, only Adobe Reader is 122 megs. Our control panel is 1 megabyte. And from that control panel, which installs on the desktop, which is branded for their organization, we then are able to launch all the various pieces that I think you heard before we fell off the cliff. A full marketing system, the presentation system that you knew as parallel learning, the support, the resources, full security, and the integrated network in which the people who are participating in what we call e-mods, which is the actual content portion, that those people then can feed back into the cycle their ideas, communicating online, discussions, whether it's structured classes, informal classes, whatever the case might be. All of that is launched from this tiny piece of software that's in essence an information operating system. So it organizes the information, it secures it, and yet it allows for the propagation so that if you have, it's like sharing a good book. And because the parallel learning component of it is such an advanced learning system that whether you're trying to market or whether you're trying to learn more intense information, it speaks to all the people regardless of the learning challenges. And you brought it up earlier, Mark, 77% of the people in this country have some form of learning challenge. And from the people we've dealt with over the years, most decision makers will tell you that, that within their organization, within their group, it's a lot higher than that.
Wow. Well, one of the things that I noticed about your way of presenting things is that we've been sort of conditioned into changing our brains to align with the technology, and this is a changing the technology to align with the way the brain learns, so that you're not having to sort of play, you know, neurological twister up there to kind of understand what's going on, because a lot of stuff comes in, like I was saying before, it's sensory overload. You go to a movie, like I saw that Indiana Jones movie, there were sounds popping out under my chair, over my head, down the hall, you know, and it's disorienting. And I think we've gotten into that mindset of we have to amuse the brain in order to get its attention instead of structure things so that things can get actually internalized and become part of that person. And it's almost like instead of giving people a way to kind of digest information, we're sort of just pouring it on them like paint and hoping that they get nourished by it. And this EMOD format, and I've seen a little of it, and you guys can check it out on awarecom with two M's, .com, one M. And they got a whole bunch of stuff up there that you can get involved with. We just click over to the Get Involved section, and you can watch some videos there tonight. And it completely kind of calms your brain down, because what happens is that the information is lined up to go right into the circuits that are in your head, and instead of you having to kind of prune and almost like bend yourself around to get the information to be understood. Because the first time, I don't know if you've been on GoDaddy.com lately, if you really want a sensory overload experience. That is a mishmash of a website, but people go up there and they park websites all day long. And Richard has a little take on one of his videos about, you know, what is the problem with a website in terms of a communication tool? What's the biggest limitation you see with it?
Go ahead, Della.
Before Richard answers that question, I'm going to ask you to re-ask it. I want to go back to your invitation to the audience. We do have on awarecom.com, and that's aware and com with two M's, .com, a particular page called Get Involved. And on that page, if you just send us a note about what you're involved in, we'll arrange for you to get a control panel, sample control panel, and a sample EMOD. We have several customers of all sizes and shapes. Life Skills U is actually a customer of AwareCom, and to kind of fill out the history part, AwareCom actually was Richard's original development company that started 20 years ago, and Life Skills U is actually a component of our public service arena of AwareCom. But I do want to invite the guests to the Getting Involved page. There's a brief video there. And we'll be happy to set a time and send people a link to download the sample control panel and sample EMOD and some free online classes we have regarding how to create EMODs, what are they all about. It's a very exciting time. We have all kinds of classes that are coming up that are free around that. Why would someone use educational marketing? We actually put the word to it, but all marketing is education. But I'm going to let Richard answer your question about the website and what the problem is with our instant gratification.
Thank you, Della. Your question was a very good one relative to websites. I've looked at it for a lot of years. I've watched as a senior member of the technical community, I've watched the Internet grow and move into some rather interesting areas. But I think the bottom line is that websites are designed around navigation, whereby people can search, find a piece of information, and then they got what they wanted, and they leave. And it's if you didn't find it in two clicks, you're gone. When you find it in two clicks, you're in there for 2 minutes, and you're gone, and it's all done. And they are not process-oriented.
Don't Make Me Think. Right? The most popular book on the Internet right now is a book called Don't Make Me Think.
And the interesting thing is about EMODs, and again, I'm kind of cutting Richard off at the pass here, but the interesting thing about EMODs is the process itself, we're actually forced, like you were saying earlier, to tweak the brain to fit these other modes of learning.
Mm-hmm.
And because EMODs and parallel learning, what we now call personal learning, speaks to the way the brain functions, you not only get to learn, but it's not hard. And we're so used to learning having to be hard, or at least a large percentage of the world. And so the EMOD and the personal learning technology actually makes it easy to learn.
Yeah, well, what I got out of it just from my own limited experience of it is that an EMOD is a natural learning technology as opposed to a lot of the stuff that Richard studied 20 years ago in artificial intelligence. It's actually gone completely around now because of all the understanding about the brain in the last 20 years. You could actually design a visual or auditory presentation that engages the brain in the way the brain naturally processes information rather than try to bombard it with sensory input and sort of beat it down. Like you watch with commercial television and other things that just try to interrupt your brain.
You know, and Mark...
Exactly. And it comes back to a real, real basic thing, that the studies that were done with the techniques that are used on the Internet for computer-based educational systems on web-based formats don't work. And that was substantiated by reports from the Washington Post in April of 2007. But equally important is, and I'm going to come back to the navigation thing of finding a piece of information or a little gob of information is not education. Education only happens when you have the ability to invoke process. If once you invoke process, you begin to help the individual make the association of principle-based cause and effect. And therefore, we come back to one of the most fundamental parts of education, which affects marketing, sales, training, education, whatever. It's how we are taught is equally important as what we are taught, because how we are taught will determine how the information that's put together will be applied. I truly believe, and I'm pretty public on this point, that the way we have used the Internet for both marketing education and learning education, we've actually hurt learning. We've actually done ourselves a serious disservice by establishing a rather illogical way to learn to try to believe that we are going to teach people with two clicks in 4 seconds and it's all over. And we're creating a generation of people that have lost the ability to learn, they lost the ability to stop, understand a principle, take a deep breath, how does this apply, where does it go, and then what do I do with it? And
We sacrificed accuracy for speed. Everything got visual, everything got faster, everything got more symbolic and more kind of superficial, so there's no depth. So basically nothing sticks. It's like a Post-it, and it's
right.
Like it's there for a moment and it's gone, so there's no way to internalize it. Your system uses symbols, and it puts them in different places on the screen so that it actually becomes almost like an after image in your mind when you're done with it, and you don't have to work to sort of recall the information. It's sort of placed properly on the shelves in your mind, and when you go to retrieve it, it's right there rather than just like all over the place like a junk drawer in your house, you know?
Yep. And the testing that we've done with it is really interesting you bring that up, because we have scientific proof, third-party testing, that we actually balance the brain in terms of left-right brain perspective. There was one condition that I was aware of a number of years ago where there was a boy who had autistic tendencies, and he was too young to read, but he would sit and watch the screens that were produced in this technology, and the boy would become calm afterwards during the process and would be able to sit, which was substantiated in later years that we truly overcome ADD, ADHD, dyslexia, and all of the common, quote, forms of learning that require medication. We do it without medication and have proven so in hospital and clinical environments.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we get to kind of winding down, I want to get one more concept out, is that in the EMOD structure, there's a kind of a ground substance called storyboarding. Could you just give people a taste of what that's about?
Storyboarding, I'm going to do the opening, and I'm going to let Della do the follow-up on it. Storyboarding is a process that was done under computer guidance that allows the creative part of an individual to come out, to become free. We all know as professional speakers where to stand and how to choreograph a stage and how to make the delivery of something so that it is most exciting and it meets all the requirements of a professional choreographed presentation. We took the same technology, the same concepts, and applied them to delivery technology, where we take an individual through phases of learning how to write words, not in the words that they choose, but how they present the words so that those words have the right pauses, the right timing, the right groupings as the eye sees it, building upon what we learned many years ago in reading dynamics classes where people could read a paragraph at a time, and applied that same skill to the software that guides us. Then we move from that phase into the storyboarding, where a person then using a browse and click can then grab things that are significant to do the illustration. But the software itself handles the intuitive part so that it puts it in the places in the screens so that it creates the ultimate presentation of providing both word thinking and picture thinking concurrently. It is so powerful that we're now looking at aspects of being able to treat autism, people who have dominantly word or picture thinking capabilities, and to be able to develop the word thinking part with it.
What I'd like to add to that, the exciting part about storyboarding is it puts the creation in the hands of the person with the message. It is a there is no programmer needed. There's no code writing. When you get into the internet and that kind of stuff, and these e-mods are done offline. We are truly a balance of online and offline. I want to emphasize that. The control panel goes on the desktop. The e-mod gets installed on the computer. The content is 128-bit encrypted protection. So those authors and educators out there and trainers that have their content that have had it stolen out of e-books, that's not going to happen here. And the exciting thing is they're the ones with the passion and the purpose. They're the ones that know what they want to convey and how they want to convey it. And this tool, the storyboard software, allows them, with a little guidance from us as to what they're doing, they can go at it and have a grand time. We have many partnerships where we have a storyboarder and an author working together, or sometimes just the author themselves or the trainer. So it puts it in the hands of the messenger, and it's been a real delight to watch have that happen.
It's all driven by videos. It's driven by help. It's driven by online interactive classes in a workshop environment. But the bottom line, it allows a person who has a message to take their viewer, their reader, their target audience, and move them through the four critical stages, which I call the four eyes to success. They allow through illustration, proper and professional choreographed illustration, allows them to move into the first eye, which is interest, to awaken a dream in somebody, the possibility of something. Then into the second stage, the desire for information, to engage possibilities. In business, we call that sales. The third eye, imagination, where we're able to get people to establish goals and make a decision to buy. And then the fourth eye, which is investment in the form of customer care, which is what closes the sale. And when we can develop develop content material and present it in the professional standard that is developed by our storyboard process, those four critical stages happen. And so whether you're talking about an idea, a movement, a technique, whatever it is, when you can pass the reader through those four stages of interest, in information, imagination, and finally the investment, which closes the sale, you've accomplished the goal of what you wanted to do. Because whether it was a money or an emotional buy-in, that's what we're after. And that's when we do those things, we can start to make some real change in world. Because I see a world desperately trying to change, desperately promising to change, desperately needing to change, and not changing.
Yeah, I guess that, like I said, one of the things we talked about before was that the traditional way of spreading information, even on the web, is basically a scaled-up version of the old telephone game, where it starts off at the source and cascades down from messenger to messenger, and by the time it gets to you, it's been reinterpreted five or six times, and it doesn't even resemble the original message. By making these e-mods, you have this sort of hermetically sealed container that will promote not only the transmission of the information, but it's supported, understood, and it's recursive, that it goes back and forth, and it continues to kind of embed itself. And one of the ones you used as an example of this is Al Gore's movement on the web, but he's got, what, 1 million people on his site there that are talking about, you know, global warming and all the things for climate change, and how do you organize 1 million people to do anything using the tools that are present on the web right now compared to using things like emods?
Well, it's an excellent point. And, of course, when you talk about the planet and global warming, for a man that lives in the sea, on the sea, and sometimes over the sea, you're talking about my world. And these are things that touch my heart. We became, as both individuals and as a company, very, very interested in the global warming problem. And what I saw is that they had rallied the troops of about 1.7 million and growing rapidly. In terms of getting people interested, involved, and excited. And out of that, a few have success. Now, what I view and when I see that, I say, okay, we got 1 million people succeeding and 100 people winning. That isn't very good.
Right. Yeah,
and what we have to do is when somebody has a win, those people to that won. What, how they did it, not what to do. The leaders tell us what to do. Gore told us what to do and why to do it. What we have to do is find the solutions of how to do it. And when we do that, we have to be able to teach our peers how to do it. And eBOD's become a tool to do that. We put together a video. We took a web page. We turned the web page into an eMOD process. And then we did a video to show this is the importance of not just telling, you know, that Fred and Susie were able to get their mayor to instigate a law that's going to happen 5 years from now, and we could all clap and hang a blue ribbon on them. We've got to go far beyond that. We've got to find out how they did it and how they went about it and what were the challenges that they had and what were the challenges that they overcame and have those people teach thousands of other people how to do it. Well, they have jobs, and eMODs allow that process of the dissemination of how we win to be cross-pollinated.
And it does that in two ways. And again, I want to invite the audience, if they're interested in seeing that eMOD, the eMOD is not on the website, so just send us a note, and we'll arrange for you to have that eMOD example of how we took a web page and converted it into that. But the part of the infrastructure is once an eMOD's been downloaded and activated on a particular computer, the person who now has that eMOD can right from that same control panel, right from their desktop, open on the fourth button, which says share it with a friend, and they can transfer that eMOD and propagate it out to their associates. Now, whether it's global warming, whether it's autism, whatever the message is, whatever the solution is, not just rhetoric, but real solutions that are succeeding can be passed on so they can be repeated and all people will understand not only what to do but how to do it because of the learning technology itself.
And the key to it is, of course, the storyboarding. All of the storyboards that have been built were built by non-technical people. They thought that the word code started with K and had no concept of what code was about. And
teachers.
They were teachers. These were teachers. These were people who were passionate in what they had, passionate in what they wanted to do, and they were teachers. They were educators. And they were able to use this technology easy and straightforward to deliver the message that covers the four critical eyes. Create interest, deliver information, activate imagination, and get people to make an investment.
And when Richard says teachers, he doesn't necessarily mean formal teachers. He's talking about anybody has a passion, anybody who has a purpose, that they're a message that they're trying to get out, whether that's a businessman, whether that's a trainer, an educator, an author, or a volunteer organization. It's a great tool, and we've seen marvelous success in those environments.
There are so many people out there that have a job to feed their belly, feed their kids, feed their wives, feed their husbands, and meet the bills. And yet inside of them is a fire burning, a fire that's red hot and glowing and ready to go. The reason people get depressed is they have to give up their dream. What the eMOD system will do with the storyboarding process is allow people to take their dream and turn it into a reality. Because in essence, what we are is a Awarecomm. That's AWARECOMM.com. Awarecomm is a new breed of publishing. If the material, if it goes past the basic stage of presentation and delivery, and there's a market for it. We assign ISBN numbers just like the boys downtown, and it's published on the whole network of publishing material, not as a PDF file, but as a professionally choreographed EMOD that comes across as though thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars have been spent, and yet none of that is true, because the storyboarding process allows you to take whatever information you have in whatever form it is, whether it's videos, whether it's audios, whether it's PDF files, whether it's
Word documents,
whether it's pictures and photos, whatever it is, and it allows you to simply feed it into this system, put it where it wants to be, and end up as a professional single presentation. It allows you to integrate all of the accumulation of what you have today into a single seamless presentation for delivery that opens up and gives a full picture of what your dream is. And that's how we accomplish those four I's of gaining interest, information, imagination, and investment.
Yeah. Richard Dell, I just wanted, because we're going to be winding down here for a minute, I just want everyone to understand here that this is not an option. This is one of those things where right now it's a nice little new concept, but 2 or 3 years from now, what you're going to be looking at here is a lot of necessity, because as we've come to know, if anyone's been looking at the Internet the last 2 or 3 years, it's getting a little clogged up there. You can be running down to the store trying to buy more memory, more space. And one of the things that that stood out for me when they originally put this concept in front of me is that YouTube itself uses up, what, 10% of the space on the web right now?
Yep.
So all these streaming videos and all these things that are just very, 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 big files up on the web, the servers can't hold them, and the people that are in the industry are, they're not replacing them, and that they're not, one of the stats I think Della said about that they should be replacing them at one pace, and they're putting like, what was the stat on that, Della? Like how much they're not replacing the space?
Well, the study that recently came out in November of last year was that there's an estimated $137 billion needed by 2010 invested into the infrastructure of the Internet, and AT&T has dedicated $1 billion.
Yeah, so they're already pulling up their stakes. They're already knowing that this is not going to be a place to put their money.
And it's already apparent by the mere movement of the distinction and looking at – there's a test right now in Texas of charging for cable bandwidth. The wireless internets are now preparing for, they're not charging yet, but they're preparing their computer systems for, you get 5 gigs, and over 5 gigs, then you'll get zero at the moment.
The wireless internet, the wireless network of phones now give unlimited calling, and now the price tag is being hooked on internet data. It's that simple.
Yep.
They're doing it in Texas. The cable companies are now looking at how much they're going to charge for data. They are now putting limits starting at 5 gigs. The average person uses 20 gigs. Guess what? It's going to get expensive.
Up.
They're moving all of the Verizon is making deep penetration into the concentrated areas with fiber optics. Majority of the reports on the Internet now are the majority of people are going to be left out in the field with low quality, low cost, or high cost, low quality internet connections, and only a few will be able to afford high performance fiber optics. They're not going to take care of the internet as it stands. They're going to let it fall apart. They're going to let it get too expensive. And that was the reason way back when we developed the EMOD system, which allows for a very significant compression difference in the downloading of EMODs, very small files, and all done offline, so we lose the dependency on internet. And that's probably the strongest gift that we have to the world, is if they can charge whatever they want, but it's going to remain low cost for the user because it'll be done offline.
And then the only
I have to stop us there because we're getting close to the top of the hour. But if anyone wants any more information about this, you guys have been great. It's been so much. My head's exploded with all the stuff we covered. You go to awarecom.com. That's aware, C-O-M-M, .com. And Richard and Della, thanks for joining us here tonight on Naked Soma. Again, we'll have more to say. You guys got to come back and explain this whole thing. We just opened up a can of worms here at the end. So hopefully we'll have another chance to discuss this some more. And thanks for joining us tonight on Naked Soma.
Thanks for having us.
See thanks, ya. Mark. Have a good evening. Good night now.
Take care now. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay. It's Soma time
Sutra?
In the ninth inning here. Yeah, Soma Sutra. Hit it, baby.
Girl, tonight we're going to make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. Monday night is my night to cook. Tuesday night we go and visit your mother. But Wednesday we make sweet weekly love.
Greetings, Sapes. Welcome to another Soma Sutra moment here. It's EXO week. So let's talk a little bit about the EXO in a relationship. If you are tired of the BS and the drama and trying to figure someone out all the time, what are they up to? What are they doing? Well, take a break from whoever you're dating and find yourself a nice EXO. Because EXOs do not play games, generally speaking. They are a what you see is what you get type of person. And you don't really have to do a lot of figuring. They're not messing with you. They are up front. And I've got one here. He's rather fabulous, you have to say. So, EXO week, things are a little calm for some of you. For some of you, it's maybe not so calm. But I'll tell you what, I'm feeling pretty good this week. I got through the eco week, and I'm really thrilled that it's EXO week. So get yourselves an EXO and have a party.
What you see is what you get.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars.
And welcome to another edition of Somascopes as we peer through the somatic eye at the universe. Here we are at EXO Week. We actually started it today, the 28th, as we wheel our way to the new moon on the 3rd, which kicks off the last lunar cycle of the spring. So what do we do in EXO Week, getting ready for things? Well, what do the EXOs do when they get ready for things? They get ready for things. They organize. That means a little inner farming. And as they say in the spring, the job is to figure out what you would like to settle in the spring so that it will circulate in the summer. So the dust in your life is beginning to settle, all right? Just like in the fall when the leaves fall from the trees, at this point, the seeds are rising from the sands. So what is down in the roots of your mind, what is down in the crevices of your being is going to begin to kind of show itself. So it's time to a step step here, a step step there. So if you haven't been doing the Ripper Day Diaries, you Antos, do that. The ecos begin to entertain the thought of emoting in a physical way rather than in a mental way. Get some vent out. A little singing in the morning. And the philos, you know what you guys do in the spring, and I got to mention it. Anyway, that will be the link to partake this week as we enter EXO land. Be back next week when we are smack dab on a philo Wednesday. All right, so for Somascopes, travel light.
Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
Uh-huh. There we go.
All right, we made it to the top of the hour. So
yeah,
we
have a minute.
Yeah, we do. But I got a little Van Halen to take us out here to get the energy back in the universe now.
Woohoo!
We're dancing. Top of the 10th inning at Shea. Tied at 5. Andy Chavez going deep there. Somewhere at the beginning of the Soma Sutra. Who's the guest next week?
I don't remember.
There you go.
Eco, sorry.
Yeah, that's the fuck you, Ecos. You just don't know. check the site, and we'll see you again next week on Naked Soma. Until then, for me, for you, for everyone else that bothers to listen, travel light.